Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
What's going on, people? This is Marcel Somerville, and I host the Michael and Marcel Show on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. We all know the coronavirus is a wanker, so do what's best for you, your family, your friends, and all of the people in the UK, and stay the fuck at home. We all know that lockdown's going to be a bit of a bitch. So what I want you to do right now is keep listening to Stay at Home and Chill on FUBAR Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, Aston Merigold. How are you?
Very good. How's it going?
Really good.
I'm so delighted you've got Jeanette as your dancing partner.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy. Very happy.
Is it nerve-wracking?
Do you know what? It is a little bit nerve-wracking, only because it's a bit like, everyone's like, oh, but you dance and this is, you know, what you do. And then I'm like, well, okay, I'm a singer that dances. And there's never probably been a time in my career where I've ever broke out into a ballroom or Latin dance on stage. It haunts me already, that music, the intro. I can hear it already. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Do you pick up bad habits? And then there's Jeanette saying, no, you don't do that.
Sound like Jeanette now, actually. Yeah.
You've got rhythm, obviously, but it's doing it in the right way, isn't it?
You know what? That's probably been the biggest problem for Jeanette. If I was a blank canvas, I reckon that it might have been a little bit easy for her to kind of teach me. I wouldn't be standing in a certain way. I wouldn't hold my body in a certain way, just because I'm so used to like street dancing. Like everything's so like low and hunched over.
What do the other boys from JLS say?
All in mad support. I was literally talking to her. We've got obviously our own WhatsApp group talk with all the wives and girlfriends and stuff. I think Rochelle was actually saying she was just like, Marvin, Rochelle's little girl, Alea, basically loves the show, and she's like, she can't wait till I'm on it, and she's basically looking to run up the phone bill. I was like, perfect. She's great. She's like, Uncle Ast is on TV and she's going to run up the phone bill. So I was like, it's brilliant. This is great.
I mean, such an experience, isn't it? Strictly. Did you ever think when you were doing X Factor that you would be
swapping
doing
shows.
Strictly dancing?
Do you know what? Especially during the X Factor series, you just never know what's going to happen.
Hugh Joseph on FUBAR Radio.
We do have a special surprise co-host in the studio right now. First things first, start off with radio host number one. There's only one, by the way. There's not actually two or three or four. There's one. Radio host number one. So what's your name and where are you from?
My name's Ian Hugh and I'm from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, amazing. Oh, God, you sound so dreamy. He sounds so dreamy. Whoever the co-host is, I don't know who co-host is. Question for radio host number one. When you're out walking in the park, do you find it cuter to see a baby in a pram or a puppy running around being all cute? What's cuter?
A puppy every time. And by the end of this radio show, I'll be giving you the puppy eyes.
He's good.
Pretty happy with that.
She's got one button open, mate. One button open. Okay, question number two. For a radio host, if you were going to host a radio show, what would be the first thing that you would want to talk about?
I would want to talk about how wonderful Hugh Joseph is, everyone.
That was on my list, talking about me. He's good.
I like talking about you,
man. He is really, really good. Third and last question to find out, do we want to do a radio show together? Ale or lager, Ian? What are you going to drink at the pub?
If I'm being really honest, man, I've always wanted to get into ale, and I don't mind an ale, but whenever I'm drinking an ale, I do wish it was a lager. I want to be an ale guy, but I like my Peroni, man.
Really? Yeah. Is this more of an Edinburgh thing, or is it just personal taste?
Like, I used to live in Manchester, they're all about ales.
Really?
Scotland, they like an ale. You know, when you're younger and you're like trying to get into beer and you're pretending to your friends you like it.
Yeah.
You sort of think it sucks.
Oh.
That's how I feel about ale a little bit. Like, I want to drink something called like Skeleton's Foot or something cool like that.
Oh, right,
but
yeah.
Then I just get a lager.
Oh, no.
Lager. Has that ruined it?
I don't know. Have to have a bit of a think, I guess. I don't know. Maybe radio host number one or number two. I really like two at a time. I reckon it's going to go with Ian. It's Ian Sterling, by the way. Yeah.
I always also realised I said my name at the very beginning and sort of ruined that.
Well, you didn't just say Ian. It could have been any Ian.
Could have been any Ian. I done Mastermind last week.
Did you? How was that? How was that?
It was so scary. Yeah. So scary. Didn't come last. That was like my main aim.
Yeah.
Didn't come last. I done all right, man.
What were some of the questions? What was going on?
Well, my specialist topic was the films of Robin Williams.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, but they asked dead easy questions. I think I studied too much. What blue character did he play in Aladdin? I forgot who wrote the soundtrack. What is this? The general knowledge was impossible, man.
Really? Like what?
Florence is the capital of what popular tourist destination? Florence is like the main place in what British tourist destination? Tuscany?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought that's like even answered the question.
I just thought they all went to Magaluf. I didn't think there was any other Spanish.
It's so funny you say that, man. Yeah. I got Magaluf in my head. I was like, I can't say Magaluf on BBC One.
Nah. Yeah.
I've not been to Magaluf in years.
No.
I don't think they drink ale in Magaluf, man.
No, they don't. You don't want to go there, mate.
I went last year, like far too old to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was filming a thing out there. We were in like some place near there, and then it was like £7 and I kept to Magaluf. Like, wow, how bad can it be?
Can be bad.
I was just drinking fish bowls with like children, man.
I went to Palma because that's where Magaluf
is. Yeah,
that's
where I was, Palma.
But I stayed well away from there. I was just seeing some friends actually like in Palma. I didn't even go to near Magaluf. But when I was at the airport, there was some real British kind of what you'd expect.
Such a weird dichotomy. It's basically young children who want to get hammered and then old people.
Yeah.
No, it's like the evolution of man, but they've forgotten the middle three monkeys.
I'm literally like in line waiting to board my flight and there's this girl in front of me, an English girl, early 20s, something like that. She's on the phone to her dad, pretty much crying, going like, "Dad, they arrested me. I didn't do anything. I was just there. We're having a few drinks and chilling out. They put me on the ground. They locked me up for hours. And it was just like, Dad, it was so horrible." And I was like, "Oh, the poor thing." And she got off the phone and was laughing to her mates, going, "Nah, I spat on the cop." I was so pissed. I spat on a cop. I don't even remember. I woke up the next day, didn't even know where I was.
What is my sister like?
I know. She is wild.
She's crazy lass.
Hey,
Ian Boldsworth.
Bobby Ball, are you there?
The funniest man in England.
Oh, mate, come on. Surely the world.
My wife told me to say that.
There's nothing going on with me and Von, by the way.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure there's nothing in the air. Surely you've seen it, though, when I'm in your company and Von's there.
There's certainly something between you two, and I can't wait for you to take a mate, because I feel you're right together.
We shouldn't really go into this. Certainly not on a public forum.
I don't think so.
How are you?
I'm fantastic, mate. You?
I've been a bit flustered today because my producer has been in sexy mood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
she seems to be always on your mind at the minute, not being funny. Are you going to change your life?
It's not on my mind. It's being forced upon me.
Who by?
By her, by Natalie, my producer.
I know Natalie. She's very well known.
Yeah, totally she is, isn't she? Yeah, totally.
Oh, she's very well known, Natalie.
Yeah, she's been a bit randy, really.
That's what she's known as, that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Hiya, love, all right?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm good.
Get to know each other.
The night. You were fantastic.
When I said what the other night, Bobby? What?
I said you were fantastic the other night.
Oh, right, thank you.
Can't believe it. Just let me move the grandkids.
We can misbehave to a certain extent on this show, you'll be all right. But I know you don't like that. You don't like misbehaving. You tell me off for, like, misbehaving.
I am always telling you off for misbehaving. It's a new thing, isn't it, all that today? I'm quite old-fashioned when it comes to that.
You're not really, though, are you not? You're not in real life. When we chat in real life, you have your naughty moments.
In real life, but on stage, I mean, you've got to remember in my time, you didn't swear or F and Jeff and all that.
Yeah.
They do today, it's normal today, but it wasn't in my time, so it's a new thing that I don't really want to learn, really.
I will concede that I swear too much on stage.
You do. You don't need to do, because you're a funny man, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. I think it's because I swear too much in real life.
I could be, but you see, sometimes it's suited to emphasise a joke, but in your case, it's every other word.
It's not every other word. That's not fair. Whenever we've been in a working environment together, I mean, you do it in kind of a funny way, but I can see you're genuinely upset by me using bad language.
I'm not, mate.
Come on.
When I see somebody who's funny, and it's not feathers up your bottom, this, but when he sees...
Put a feather
funny,
up my bottom, Bobby.
I think when I see somebody who's really funny, I think they don't need to swear. It's a waste of breath and a waste of a laugh.
Yeah, but I've always said to you as well, though, but also counter to that, what is the harm in it, really?
Well, an old comic said this to me once, you know, and he said, "Always be clean." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because if you clean, you sell 4 tickets.
Right.
If you blew, you sell 2. I thought that was very good advice.
Yeah, I get that. But I will say, I'm going to counter that. by saying an old comic said to me once, it was Ken Dodd. This is genuinely true. When I tell Ken that I was in a double act, he shook his head, very angry, and said, "He who travels alone travels furthest," is what he said. However, you're also in a double act.
And I've been going 53 years, so we've travelled quite a bit.
You have indeed. And this is the other thing as well. We know each other, but you know that I'm first and foremost a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying, oh, yeah, I'm a fan of that. Like, I'm properly a fan. I've got a framed Boys in Blue poster on my wall in the kitchen and stuff.
Fantastic. Thanks, mate.
I didn't mean that. But you know what I mean? It's like, genuinely, in my job, if you like, and, you know, the stuff that I do, I have little moments every now and again where I can't believe what I'm doing, or rather who I'm doing it with. And I'd say you're up there as one of the pinnacles there. The fact that now I know you, we've chatted in real life and stuff, and I've worked with you in that, I sometimes remember that when it's happening and go, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I'm not butting, I'm going to tell you something else.
Butting?
Some words of wisdom from an old comic. Do you know the difference, by the way, between a comic and a comedian?
What?
A comedian tells funny stories, a comic is a funny man. That's that one. But the beauty of our job, this is a fantastic part of our job. It's not the money or the glory or anything. The beauty is this. This is why we're blessed with what we do. When a person laughs, it's impossible to worry at the same time. So when you make a person laugh, you're taking away all the worries for that few seconds, because they can't worry because they're laughing. What a fantastic job that is.
Have you had times in your career, though, where you've forgot it's a fantastic job?
Oh, of course.
Because I get that regularly.
And I think it's only as I've got older that I've realised that.
I think I regularly have that, where I get fed up with the job. I think that's why I do so many different things. That's why I'll do the radio and I'll do writing and, you know, all the rest of this stuff. Is that I get bored so fast just doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. You need to change it to you.
Shut up. That's not fair. Coming from you? Right, no, you can kid all you want. Coming from you, who I saw in Panto last year doing the puppet thing that you did in 1986 on the telly.
Oh, God. No, wait. We only do it because it's requested.
No. I'll tell you what, you're in a brilliant position you are because, A, because your material stands the test of time as a double act. I know that for a fact because Peacock and Gamble completely ripped you off and it worked for us, right? So I know it stands the test of time. The double act relationship stands the test of time. Well, your sons are the same, you're with the Harper brothers.
Yeah,
absolutely wonderful. But, you know, both your sons and that, who are double acts as well, that relationship will stand the test of time, no matter who's doing it. But you're blessed insofar as you've got a huge amount of material of self-contained sketches that a lot of your audience now weren't even born when that was on.
Well, do you know what happens with us? We did it on Saturday. We were at the North Pier in Blackpool.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens with us Saturday? What happens with us when we go on? People say, you didn't do the Molly Malone routine.
Yeah.
But hang on, we've been doing that for like 20 years. I know, but we paid to see that.
Yeah,
so
I get
our
it.
Our routines have become like records that people want to see.
Yeah, like a best of.
Like Tommy Cooper going on and saying, if he didn't say just like that, you think, I'm a bit disappointed here.
Do you know what? I can't even think of another comic or another comic act that has that. For example, I could watch you, and you know this already, I could watch you happily, you and Tom, do the trumpet routine happily on repeat for probably up to 24 hours. Quite happily. I could watch you alone saying, look at it, with the trumpet on the floor. The first time I worked with you, I was doing a warm-up, I'm not going out. The very first time I worked with you, and I'd held it together quite well, and there was a moment where something happened on set, and I went, look at it. And then you looked up and laughed, and you went, oh, look at it. And it was one of the best moments of my life, Bobby.
Like, that's lovely. Thanks, pal.
It was amazing, man. It was amazing.
Well, you know, I took that off, don't you? But, I mean, if you look at Cannonball, character of Bobby Ball, I took from my kids.
Yeah, it's kids. Yeah, totally.
And the two brothers who are now a double comedy act, the Harper brothers.
Yeah.
When they used to be little boys, right, and the elder one would break a toy or something, the little one would actually say,
yeah,
oh, look at it.
Look at it.
Yeah, like that. Oh, that's funny,
I can't
that.
Get me breath.
That's it, yeah.
I was the same in Peacock and Gamble, and I was the Bobby Ball in Peacock and Gamble. Once you get into that groove, it's really easy to do.
Dan Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Guest today's Roisin.
Roisin.
Why do I always get this wrong? Roisin Conaty. Conaty. Well, actually, why did you get given that name?
Irish parents who moved in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they had very non-Irish names, like Margaret and Charlie. They just got all Irish when they came to England, so I got...
It was leaving Ireland that made them even more Irish than before.
I think about 50% of my life is... Where's that name? I've never had a conversation where they go, oh... So it's quite weird to meet someone. It must be nice to go, Dan. They go, cool, and move on with it. With me, everyone's like, oh, it's got a lot better now because the internet, there's more Roisins. But when I was a kid, it was, I've never really had an opener where I don't do the bit about my name.
Thanks for joining us today. I've felt this of stuff I've done where you know what your influences are, but when you look at your own work, you're like, wow, why is it nothing like the things I'm influenced
exactly
by?
That's what it is. You don't see the joins. It's like, I suppose, you don't, how you make up a personality, you don't see where you get your bits from. Everything I've watched, American stuff, I suppose, drama, comedy dramas, those sort of things. Yeah. But film is my, like, I did film at uni, and I just felt that's always to make it feel quite real and naturalistic. I'm really obsessed with that at the moment. Not as like a statement like that's the only way it should be.
Yeah, yeah. People are getting a bit more used to comedy shows, you know, especially with a lot of the American stuff like Transparent and Master of None and all those kinds of shows where it does straddle that strange line between comedy and drama and doesn't have to always chase the joke or the gag or whatever. So hopefully, I don't know about an E4 audience, but hopefully people are a bit more open to that kind of thing where...
I think you could just make the show you want to make. I think the show you want to watch or the show you're interested in at that time. And I think if you try, you know, cater to everyone, or if everyone adds colour, you get brown. And if you try and make the show that everyone might like a bit of, you can see that, you know, you sometimes go, whereas if you make a show where people go like, I really like that.
I think sometimes, you know, like, especially with reviews and things, there's this presumption that if a reviewer thinks the show doesn't work or has failed or something, that they somehow made a mistake. I remember making a show years ago, like 15 years ago, that was meant to be really big and broad and came out at the same time as The Office, and everyone was going, well, it's not quite as nuanced as The Office, and I was like, we weren't trying to do that.
That's exactly
the thing.
So it's
an unfair comparison.
Yeah, they thought, some of the conversation does lend itself to this is good and this is bad, and I hate that about comedy conversation. I just find it fascist, like there can be this kind of like...
Easy though, isn't it? It's much easier.
To go, this is terrible and this is good. Like, I love big comedy. I love, you know, when it's really big and I can hear the writing. I also like, when you're doing comedy drama, I don't want to hear the typewriter, and if I can hear the line, if I can hear the writer sort of like so I'm like, oh,
by the way, I don't think people use typewriters anymore. So
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Our third guest of the day in, and his name is Darren Herriot. How's it going, bro? You get a spirited round of applause.
Thank you,
you look surprised, man.
Nice to feel welcome. Appreciate that, guys.
How's it going?
Yeah, all good, man. How about yourselves? This is like a nice little gig you guys have got here, huh?
Yeah, man. It's a little home away from home.
Yeah,
this is my little kind of pied-à-terre. I spend my Wednesday afternoons here, you know, 4 till 6. See what's going on in the local area. Caledonian Road. Sample the market.
Oh, the caddy. The caddy, that's what we call it, right?
Very old market. Sample the local market. Yeah, look.
How are you finding newfound fame as a member of hip-hop comedy show Don't Hate the Players?
Yes, it's nice. You know, put my trousers on one leg at a time, except they're made out of gold now. No, it's fun, man. Don't Hate the Players, it's been great. Just doing it and the reaction to it, especially, has been amazing. It's sort of just, it's come out the blue. You know what, online, I don't know if you guys have had much hate online for this.
I've had my best share.
Yeah, of course. Really, you've had negative comments and stuff? That's crazy.
You know, sometimes.
The trolls are out there.
I love them.
Really?
It doesn't matter. The trolls will find one reason. One reason to hate you.
In terms of the players, I mean, someone said to me, "Oh, go and have a look at what people have been saying." I was like, "What are you doing, dude? You don't punch yourself in the face." I want to set fire to myself with my clothes on. That's crazy. But I looked, and it's overwhelmingly just people. Just like, there's been like a thirst for, we've always wanted something like this on the TV,
and
you know, it's aimed at sort of grime and hip hop and that sort of culture. And when you think about what the biggest music genre is in the world, I've realised it's either like hip hop or people just like rapping on shit. Like, that's it, isn't it? It's even like, oh, here's a dance track. Oh, here's this guy with tattoos rapping. Oh, okay, he's there.
Yeah.
R&B, pop music, there's always a guy rapping. Listen, for when Maroon 5 have rappers on, that's when you know rap is like this massive, massive genre of music. So, yeah, the show, it's amazing to do, man. Just like how they've captured it on the TV is very similar to how it is live.
Yeah.
But, like, it's quite a long record, so it's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
So they condense it down, but the whole record is just, it's very much like a gig environment. Everyone's upbeat, everyone's jumping around. There's music constantly playing. Ah, it's wicked. I've done quite a bit of TV stuff, and it's the most fun I've ever had doing
that.
Because they just let me be me.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. Normally you get told, oh, you know, you can't say you know, no. That's why I like being on here, because you can swear.
Yeah. You can.
Oh, great. Look at you guys. Living the dream. You know what this is?
Oh, we've
liberals,
got
man.
The fact that there's like a radio set up and you can swear is madness.
It's progressive.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
St. John's in the building!
Ooh,
fresh off a plane too.
Are you feeling saintly today?
I feel the same every day. Sexy.
Sexy saintly.
Ah, you got the saintly. I just leave it as sexy.
Oh, okay, cool.
The saintly's implied.
And you're on a radio station where you can swear, so
like
it's a little
that.
Bit less.
Let's just test it.
Go for it.
Let's go. You know what? Let's do a back and forth real quick. Me and you, right?
Yeah, go.
I'm gonna say the first curse word I think of. You say the second. We're just gonna keep going until somebody drops the ball. You ready?
This couldn't be.
This
more
is like
me.
Ratchet Olympics. Are you ready for this?
I'm fucking ready.
All right, cool. All right, hold on. I gotta start. It's word for word.
Yeah.
Right? Don't fuck it up.
No.
Drop the ball. You gonna count me down?
3, 2, 1.
Fuck.
Shit.
Ho.
Bugger.
Slut.
Cock.
Cunt.
Dick.
Dick.
Fanny.
Oh,
I
oh shit.
I
Did
win.
I lose the rest of the Olympics?
You
I'm being
just...
courteous because I'm in London.
Is that because we both said dick?
But I got one, so that means you bit me.
No, I won.
On a technicality, I won.
No, I won.
No, I didn't win.
I'll let you win. That was the best start to an interview I think I've ever had.
I like that.
How's it being in the UK? Have you literally just dropped in?
Literally. Yeah. You're the first stop.
You grew up,
yeah,
in,
grew
Brooklyn,
up in Brooklyn,
right?
Yeah.
But also you traveled a lot to Guyana. Am I pronouncing that right? Guyana.
You're getting close. I like it.
You say it.
Guyana.
No.
Guyana.
How do you say it?
The accent. I say Guyana.
Guyana. But is that because it's an American Guyana?
Nah. Because if I said it in Guyanese, I'd be like Guyana.
Oh, okay. So I'm wrong.
It's the same. So let's not say you're wrong.
We're all right. We're all right.
You have a version. I'm not mad at your version. Yeah.
I went to Coachella, and when I went to Coachella, I was like, Americans don't even know about festivals until they come to London. That was only Coachella that I've been to, though, so I know there's a lot of better festivals.
No, there's tons. Coachella's like...
Yeah, the worst one.
Coachella's... I'm not even going to say it. I ain't say it's the worst one. You ain't going to fuck up my Coachella.
No.
Coachella, I'm going to come. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
But Coachella's like a Hollywood festival.
It's a light festival, whereas London, we do festivals heavy.
Okay. You more dusty?
Yeah. More dusty,
oh,
more dirty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And more swearing.
No showering and stuff?
No showering.
Oh, no, I don't know nothing about that. Get me the fuck out of here. As soon as I get off stage, get the fuck out of here, man.
No, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about you, the legend now.
Right,
Trap
like
is your brand new track. And Trap. The video, you did a little sneaky peeky on your Instagram.
I gave you a little, yeah.
A little something. What's going on there?
A little seduction.
Is that coming?
Soon. Real soon.
Oh, mm-hmm. I saw you were riding motorbikes. That's very dangerous.
You afraid for me?
Yes, I was nervous for you on that bike.
What do you thought was gonna happen?
Well, I don't want you to fall off and, you know, hurt that beautiful head of yours.
I like that. Thank you. I was fishing for a compliment.
That's
well, all I
I'm
mean.
Here
Thank
with
you.
It. I'm a fish throwing it at you. There
Come
you
on.
Go.
What else you got for
no,
me?
That was what I was worried about.
You know, I just got to London. I don't got a girlfriend. You can throw what else?
Let's
hey!
Do it. I'm coming to the Whoa. Ends with you.
I like that.
Tell me a little bit about the new album, because this is the first release from it, right? And it's called Ghetto Lenny's Love Song.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an ignorant project.
This it's is your a, second album.
Yeah, it's the second collection.
Of this,
Let's
yeah.
just Of Make this sure project. Our language is correct.
Oh,
right?
sorry, collection.
Collection. Say it sexy, though. You in London. Come
collection.
On.
Collection.
There you go.
That sounded like a perfume advert.
It could be.
Collection. Let's say your album
From
name like a perfume.
Collection.
Yeah.
Ghetto Lenny's Love
Song. Ghetto Lenny's Love Song.
Mm. I got that. Record that. I need that on my voicemail.
You can have that to sell it for future.
Thank you. She
Ghetto
said it.
Lenny's Love
Publishing
Song.
Publishing free. Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, it's going to be ignorant. I like ignorant music. I like things that are urgent and aggressive, right? Because I come from those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's what it's going to feel like.
I'm quite urgent and aggressive, so I feel like we'll get on well.
Yeah, then you'll love it.
I'm going to
yeah.
love it. How does it feel now that you're releasing your second collection?
It feels good.
Yeah, do you feel like you found everything you needed to find musically, or is there more to find? How are you feeling on your journey of music right
I'll
now?
I'll be at the end of my days and not feel like I found everything I was looking for, so no.
That's the answer I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
It can never be the end, because that's
nah.
the... You got some tea
constantly.
There. That's English tea
I
for you.
I got tea, fam. This is how you know I'm here. I don't usually do this, but hold on, let me sip this tea.
Oh, he's trying a tea. Oh, it's hot. Oh, that's
Y'all
nice.
Heard that?
Now we're doing ASMR in the studio, which is lovely.
Hold on, you gotta hear this. When rich niggas sip tea on the radio, you gotta listen. I'm not no sugar in this, fam. Y'all acting like I'm not rich. Disrespectful.
I'm selling this as ASMR for future. I'm going to sell this to an ASMR website. Tell me what else is going on. Are you sticking around? Are you staying in the UK for a minute?
I'd love to hang out in the UK for a little bit. You know how you can help me? We're friends now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Real friends do real friendship things, right?
Yeah, tell me what I need to do.
I need edibles.
Oh, we don't do that here.
What do you mean?
It's so annoying because it's illegal. We don't... Well, we do, but...
Who don't do what with?
Oh, he's got some
gang,
edibles.
Gang.
And they look like beef jerky, which is weird on the outside.
First of all.
That packaging looks like beef jerky.
First of all, you sound crazy. Don't look like beef jerky.
It on the outside.
Sexy. You don't see mountains on this bitch? Look at this bitch.
Yeah, that's...
There's a cactus plant on it.
Exactly, beef jerky.
You got cactuses out here?
No.
Cacti?
I have it's them cactus, in the house, right? Small ones.
You imported cactus
legal? Yeah.
You got it from Ikea. How do you do it?
Ikea, exactly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Smuggling cactuses.
That's the kid. Kind of shit we like to portray.
I like
so,
that. Are we doing a lot in the UK? I want to do more out here. I'm going to be here in I'm here in another 2 weeks.
Oh my God, stop. Yeah. This is so exciting.
Whoever my girlfriend's going to be in 2 weeks, we got to find each other today.
What? You're going to find a girlfriend today?
She's going to find me.
Oh, okay. So she's going to come to you.
Yeah, I put a bat signal up.
Oh, sick. Okay, well, girls, if you're listening, you know where it's at. That's what's happening.
Keep going.
It's going to be saintly.
I like that. The way you describe things is sexy.
I like to talk to people who like an English accent because I've got a proper English accent.
You really do. Is that Cockney?
No, I've just lived in London for a long time, so it's a bit of everything. I lived near Birmingham. I lived near Bristol. So I've got a bit of everything in my accent.
So you got the universal English accent.
I'm here to give you all that you need in terms of English accents.
You're here to give me
all? Yes, all that you need.
Me. I'm single. Don't do that. It's not fair.
He's so flirty. I'm blushing over here. Thank you for joining us. I'm obsessed with you now, so that's great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
Please come back to FUBAR so you can swear all you like.
I like that. One more time before we go Ratchet. What is it called? Ratchet Olympics?
Yeah.
You ready to go again?
Yeah, let's go.
3, 2, 1, skunt.
Fuck. Fuck!
And I won. See, I told you I'd redeem myself.
I let you win.
Thank you for tuning into FUBAR Radio. This is St. John and my lovely co-host,
Harriet Rose.
There you go. Love yourself. And don't call people fam.
Callum McSwiggan.
Callum McSwiggan
on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today we are going to be talking about everything to do with bisexuality. And I have a bit of an expert in the room with me. I have Mr. Ryan Cleary here with me. How are you doing, Ryan?
Hey, Callum. I'm doing great, thanks.
It's great to have you here. Now, I didn't know how to, like, you know when people have like a job title? Yeah. I didn't know what to put yours as because I feel like you're doing so many amazing things. I mean, you did the Bi-Life, the show last year, which was a huge deal that went everywhere. And I feel like you're doing so many different things right now and you've been doing all this, loads of TV work. So why don't you give me a rundown on everything that it is that you're doing?
So when people ask this, I do like to say I've got, at the moment, my finger in a lot of pies.
Because, yes.
You know, it's kind of like when one thing isn't going so well, you've got to kind of, you know, keep moving. And I've had a lot of interest after the show, some charities and work I can do with the LGBT community, also people that might be straight and they're curious. So I've been doing a lot of work helping others via my Instagram. I've also been doing influencer work, signed model now.
Amazing. Congratulations. It's amazing to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about last year, because last year must have been a bit of a whirlwind for you, because I know you had so much going on, both personally and professionally, and you were kind of thrown into the spotlight while going through your own kind of personal journey. So how was that for you?
It was starting from Survivor of the Fittest. That was kind of a massive jump for me. Yeah. Like, coming out publicly on television was one of my biggest battles, but it helped me. That wasn't a battle in itself. I'd never told people, and a lot of people were shocked that knew me and I'd never told them. So that released a lot of pressure at the time. I was single, wasn't in a relationship at the time. I did feel that I needed to express the way I was, as, you know, in terms of my sexuality when I was on reality television, because I did feel that there was no representation of bisexual people within the media, and I feel that super, super important that there is, and it's proved that way, because after coming off the first show, a lot of people have said to me, look, I'm so glad that you've done that. It's really helped myself. Even people have came up to me when I've been in Soho or just in the street, and, you know, they've said, you've helped me come out or come to terms with who I am.
That's amazing.
So it felt like a really good, it felt good to know that what I did helped other people with them, that what they might be battling within their own sexuality or with coming out. When it came to the second show, the Bi-Life, by then I was a little bit more comfortable. So it was like, okay, now I can enjoy this, because I've not got cameras on me and I'm thinking, oh, what are people at home going to think? Everybody already knew. So with the Bi-Life, it was a lot more fun. I was in Barcelona, as with Courtney Act, an amazing cast, and we had this lovely villa. So I felt more myself on the Bi-Life, and that was just great. So the year kind of went from strength to strength.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, I was still dealing with things, feelings and thoughts of, I've came out now, and what do other people think? You know, it'd be little things like going to the gym, and, you know, some people that would used to speak to you, they might not. That's their issue, not mine.
Absolutely.
But more, and having, you know, other like-minded people, it was just good to see what their journey was and how they dealt with it. And you know, the stereotypes and stuff that comes with it. But I've always, once I gained that confidence, I thought I'm going to use that confidence in a positive way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Instagram's great for that because I do get a lot of direct messages. You've done so much for bi visibility and helping other people come to terms with that. And I think that's great because it's definitely that, that's where we need to kind of focus on in the LGBT community, as well as other parts. As you know, as a group of LGBT, I feel like the B is not really, it's not really had that much exposure, or people that, not because of anyone other than that, bisexual people won't come out or express themselves on a platform. I think they keep it,
people tend to forget about bisexuality, right? And bisexual people, and you know, this is well-meaning people a lot of the time, but it's so often that, you know, bisexual people are completely overlooked. You see all these like campaigns and things out there, and more often than not they tend to just kind of focus on gay men, and then sometimes they include, yeah, lesbian women, and trans people are getting a lot of representation now. Indeed. As well, but I do feel like bisexual people are so often left out of the conversation.
I totally agree, Callum. I think that it's something that I'm hoping will change over the course of time. And I think the more people that are kind of open about their bisexuality and don't feel like it's greedy or, you know, the negative stamps that might come with it, I think that'll help that movement as well.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on everything you're
Thank
doing.
You.
I don't think anybody has ever said, I regret coming out.
No way.
And, you know, that unfortunately, we do live in a world where occasionally people come out and they do get a negative reaction. But I think even those people say, yes, I did. I had to go through this awful thing. And it was terrible. And it's horrible that we live in a world where that happens. But they're still happy that they did it. They're still happy that they were true to themselves.
Yes.
And they've, you know, tried to move forward. And
yeah.
Did you do any April Fool's pranks this year, Ryan?
I did. One of my friends, I messaged and said, I said to them that basically their nudes was on their Instagram story.
I did that as well, but I got it from someone else. I don't know who.
I think that was going around. That was an easy
one.
Was
that a thing?
Yeah, because I'd had it done to me a couple of weeks before April Fool's. So my other friend, I was like, let me just do this to one of my gullible friends.
Nice. Yeah.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
I'm Richard Herring. I'm with Lou Sanders. And here is our guest, Alex Zane.
Yeah! The most famous person you've ever had on the show.
If that is your real name.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like my real name now. Yeah. Why not?
Not according to Wikipedia, it's not.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. People fascinate over this. It's just saying it's my real name because the real story is just dull.
Okay.
Dull.
Well,
he's going to. Johnny.
He is best known, and this is what makes him the most famous person we've had, for his small acting role in Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
Right. So Johnny Vaughan's in it as well. Right. And Johnny Vaughan just gets to play Johnny Vaughan in it. But in the credits, despite the fact no one refers to me by my character's name, I'm called Dan Van der Hoek, a Dutch TV presenter, which is upsetting because it isn't even a funny name. There's nothing I can do with that.
I saw Deuce Bigalow, American Gigolo, and I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Were you doing a Dutch accent?
I wasn't, no, but I did get to say, welcome to the 76th annual Golden Boner Awards.
Wow.
Which was
that's
a celebration.
That's a dream job, isn't it?
It was interesting. I got to meet Rob Schneider. I was like, hey, you know Rob Schneider, obviously.
I do like that. Yeah.
He did, what was it called? Knock Off with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I quite liked that film. So I said to him, hey, what was it like working with Jean-Claude Van Damme on that picture? And he went, it's really fascinating working with someone who's clearly on so much cocaine.
Whoa. Which I love it when they just say that.
So that's why he doesn't, that's why he's not working anymore. That's why that guy's not working.
Well, no, he's been swallowed up by the Sandler family.
Oh, yeah,
which you don't sort of miss Rob Schneider's sort of own movies. But Kevin James, I thought, was really good. And now he's just making like Sandler knockoffs.
You love movies, right? You're always going to the movies, it seems.
I'm actually quite obsessed with Adam Sandler films because I hate them, nearly all of them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but there was a brilliant thing about when he did Jack and Jill, which is worth watching because it's the most terrible film. I mean, it's just terrible.
It's erotic,
but then
right?
I might Google it for myself in a second, there's a brilliant takedown of Jack and Jill online, which goes on for about 45 minutes explaining all the product placement, all the...
Whoa.
Basically, these guys just get paid loads of money to put their mate, you know, they get someone in for a day's film and go, yeah, it's coming in for $1 million, Rob Schneider, basically.
I'd actually say, in the list of things wrong with Jack and Jill, product placement's quite far down. Bigger problems with that movie than going, hey, that's an Apple computer.
He's a funny guy, though, I think, Adam Sandler, but he just seemed to take his foot off the gas, I would say, and go for the money.
No comments.
No. Just in case you end up working with him?
I wanted just to come in and really dramatically say that. No comment meaning, I want to be in Jack and Jill too.
No, it could happen. You could be Jill. I mean, yeah. I mean, the film would be better if they met as Adam Sandler, yeah. Zach, and you as Jill. Okay. Then it would be...
I think you've got to accept, though, if you've seen Punch Drunk Love, yeah. I mean, the guy can be really good. That's he it. Just chooses... to not be, but then Grown Ups 2, an appalling film, made like millions at the box office in the US, so it's that doesn't matter.
Is the money...
Adam, if you're listening, I'll be Jill and Jack and Jill too.
He'll be upset because he plays Jill as well. The Razzies, they're called the anti-Oscars, he won Worst Actor and Worst Actress.
Amazing.
Which is pretty good.
But he's sexy as Jill. The problem with the movie is that because he's so appealing as a woman, you forget to sort of laugh because you're sort of so in such an aroused state.
That's what problems with my gigs, actually.
Yeah.
Because everyone's so bloody aroused. They can't laugh at me.
Their erections are covering their mouths.
Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph on the Tuesday Roundup on FUBAR Radio.
Joined now by definitely one of the biggest comedians to come out of Scotland, easily, Susan Kalman. She's such a superstar. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
We're great. We're happy having you on the show. It's fantastic.
It's lovely to be on the show.
Can you tell us what your sitcom's about?
It's a second series. It's a sitcom about two sisters, Ashley Jensen, who was an Ugly Betty, plays my sister, and Nick Helm, the lovely Nick Helm, plays, someone who I hope is my boyfriend. But he doesn't know it yet. We did the first series last year, and so we've got a second series that I'm writing just now, and we'll record that in the autumn.
Amazing. Are you just writing it by yourself?
Yep.
Wow. So how does the process work, like, when you're writing a sitcom for something so big like that? Like, do you sort of go in with your rough ideas, and then it's a big process of kind of editing with the team there, and does it take a really long time to get it all across the line?
Well, because it's radio, and the budget is probably a tenth of what you would get from television. I write my ideas for the episodes for the producers, who are Hattrick. They say yes or no. Eventually we agree. I write it, send it in, and then we record it. So it's a great grounding, because in television there's lots of editors and lots of people involved. But on radio, it's just me and the producer. There's not even a director. So you just have to get on with it, because there's no time or money not to get on with it. So it's really great training for writing, and also you can't use lots of visual jokes, obviously it's on the radio. It's brilliant training for writing comedy without kind of resorting to slapstick. It's a great experience to write a sitcom on radio. I've loved it.
You're so busy. I'm so impressed. You really are like a great human being and always doing so much stuff. What a superstar.
Thank you very much for having me on your lovely show.
No, not at all. It's been a real treat. We were very excited to chat to you, so thank you for your time.
My pleasure, my darlings. Have a lovely day.
All right. Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
We've got our second guest in. We're going to go on to someone who doesn't really use ad-libs, kind of sticks to the script.
Oh, nice. Yes. But maybe he likes to improvise.
Sometimes he likes to improvise, yes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It is, of course, actor Will Merrick.
Round of applause.
Yes. Yeah, come
Thanks
on.
Thanks a lot.
Come on. We fed you. We've watered
you. Yeah. I've got my patty here.
And we've given you a round of applause. So we've given you all the stuff that humans need. Mm. Kind of love, shelter.
Yeah.
Sustenance.
Sustenance, yeah.
Yeah.
Sunlight.
Ish. Yeah, kind of.
It's a bit grey out there, I'm not going to lie.
You guys are dressed quite nicely.
Thank you very much.
Your appearance is everything.
You're nice on the eyes.
As are you.
Thanks.
Is it an Edwin suit, can I ask? The jacket?
No, this is just a jacket.
It's really nice. I'd love it if that's what it said on the label.
Just
a jacket.
It's really old. I don't know. I had this when I was like 14, you know.
I like
it's
just, it.
Yeah.
Retro.
But it's got these little bits on it.
The speckles are nice.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Everyone says, like, everyone brushes my arm.
No, the speckles are good. That's exactly
got, like,
what they're there for.
Condition.
Because you know the most annoying thing is? You know when you go into a club with UV lighting and all the little white specks on your clothes and you look like you've got dandruff everywhere.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, man, have you ever wore black?
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever been into a club and that's happened?
I haven't, no.
Have you not?
I've not experienced that.
Damn.
But maybe I need to go clubbing more. Me and my mates used to go to the Nest in Dalston a lot.
Oh, yeah, RIP the Nest, actually.
Yeah, man,
all
good
of
times.
Them clubs along that street.
Do you know what? I used to live like 30 seconds down this street on a street called Cardozo Road.
Right.
Legendary Cardozo Road.
Sounds mate, legendary.
Massive. Good times.
Was this during the Skins period?
No, this was sort of just after that. I turned 18 and I moved up to London with a couple of mates.
Yeah. But right now, Dead Pixels.
Yeah, it's a show that's kind of created by the guys that came up with Peep Show, and we've got Sam Bain and Jesse Armstrong behind it, and then John Brown has written it, who's this incredible comedy writer. I'm sure you've seen some of his stuff, and I think you'll see more of his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a comedy about a lot of things, mainly video gaming.
Yeah.
Intense Second Life video gaming, fantasy games like
World of Warcraft. So definitely very much contemporary rather than kind of retro gaming.
Yes,
definitely
no. Yeah.
Not like, I don't know, a Stranger Things type thing. Not in an arcade.
No. Not like that. Something like World of Warcraft, I think, is like a really good reference point for what the game is. It's called Kingdom Scrolls. It's like a fictional game. They built this entire game within the TV show, which I think is absolutely amazing. Yeah. Completely unique to itself.
Yeah.
In the TV show, you come in and out of the game. So one minute you're with the guys at their computers, and the next you're like with the avatars in the game. And it looks like playable.
Yeah.
It looks like fully playable.
Wow. And are they voiced by the... Will it be the same voices?
It's the same voices.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all there, you know, various stations.
I can imagine
there.
It already.
Do you know what's funny?
It sounds like a really funny concept.
Like, cause I've actually got a couple of mates who literally love gaming. They literally, like, they rather chill at home and game than go out in it. And, like, they fully get immersed into that, innit? So like, actually having, like, a comedy that's about that kind of subject
is
going to be good to watch, innit?
Yeah, you're right, because it's definitely, like, it's a subculture that people have tapped into before. But I've never really seen it done from a British perspective.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's always Americans.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's super important as well. Like, we don't have yet, I don't think, as big a pool of different strands of comedy to choose from. It's nowhere near as big as the Americans. So seeing a British comedy about gaming.
Yeah, man, I think it's really unique. Like, I've seen a little bit of it now, and I've definitely never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this your first foray into, like, proper comedy? Because you've obviously got Skins under your belt, Poldark.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, I'm sure there's some other stuff in there. I did a show called Brief Encounters, but that was kind of more maybe comedy. I think this is like, this is a straight up sitcom.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're definitely not going to have seen anything like this kind of sitcom before. You know, when you've got two different worlds and they're both just as full as the other, sometimes, you know, sometimes like the game is actually a lot fuller because they're just kind of sat at their monitors and in the game, you know, there's some fucking castle on fire or like dragons flying around and orcs like beheading people. So it's a lot more fun sometimes to be like in the game, listening to them just like chatting shit about something going on. Like someone hasn't, you know, done the washing up or something and like elves are coming in with knives and sort of storming the castles.
Yeah, yeah. And are you a gamer yourself? Or did you have to kind of method act, so to speak, and kind of get into gaming?
I've had my moments. A couple of years ago, I was always a PlayStation man.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of the big sort of titles on that. I lost about a year to Assassin's Creed. Never getting that back. Mm. Yeah, I'm not so much now.
Right.
Yeah.
Too busy, obviously.
Well, I don't know.
Too busy frequenting Cardozo Road.
Yeah.
Just going
yeah.
back. Just see what's going on.
Did you have a little wander earlier, trip down memory lane? Just
that's true.
Cardozo
did you?
Road. No, I didn't. Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel if I come face to face with that old vessel.
Yeah.
Might bring back some cold sweats.
Ian Boltzmann on Free Bar Radio.
Rob Sheehan is joining me now.
So what's happened?
That's
Rob Rouse,
my stage name.
Rob has been invited. This Rob Rouse has been invited to stay for a bit longer because we don't see him very often.
And also to eat some of that smoked cheese.
How often do you see him?
Well, we used to see each other every day.
And that's
in
not
the
often
olden
enough.
Days, not for the last 20. No, we don't anymore. Last 20 years.
Oh, right. So what's changed? Has there been a breakup?
There was a breakup.
Yeah, we
started out in comedy together, Rob, and then we had about six glorious years
together.
Another lad called John. God, he was beautiful guy.
Do
you have a comedy troupe?
God,
he has a name.
Yeah, a comedy troupe called Big and Daft. John was. I tell you what,
it's still. Do you know what? John's actually. I've started working quite closely with John again since we've been writing this puppet thing together.
I don't know how you get anything done.
Wait, we started doing Skype stuff, and I'm like, I can't.
It's going to have to be audio.
It's going to have to be audio because
to be, mate.
I can't take my eyes off.
What are we talking here? Are we talking Kirk Douglas, handsome?
Yes,
that's actually a good call.
It's a great call,
very young Kirk Douglas.
A young Kirk Douglas. I saw a documentary recently where they did a study on Kirk Douglas's symmetry of his face. And he was up there. If you're past 7 out of 10 in the symmetry scale, you're a knockout.
I'm not exaggerating, and I won't say if Rob would back me up or not, but I think he will. I think with John, we reach levels of symmetry previously unrecorded.
Yeah.
I think that...
Better than Kirk.
Listen, mate, Kirk's only around 7.5.
Well, that's the thing. So if you have perfect symmetry, that's not actually attractive. But, you know, it's a common misconception. Yeah. It's perfect symmetry.
It's a goddamn
attractive.
Freak show if you get 10 out of 10.
John goes, haunting. Perfect symmetry, that then works.
Yeah.
That's all I could explain.
Wow, I need this guy on the show. Will he come in, or is it too beautiful to come in on the show?
I don't think you would not be able to straddle him while we were doing the radio.
Has there ever been something spontaneous on the street to kind of denote his beauty? Someone stopping, jaws agape.
Yeah, fainting.
Fainting. Really, though?
Yeah, genuinely. The only reason we don't faint is because we were around him a lot in the early days.
When we
would just be rehearsing and stuff like that.
Just get used to it.
Often you just hear, right, Rob's gone. Often
you'll just catch him at a certain angle.
Ideal angle. Or if you came out the toilet and you didn't know John would be waiting to go in, game over.
So like with heroin, the broken promise, first time you have it, it's like brilliant. Nothing's ever going to be better than that. Mm. Right. And then every time you're still reaching to try and do that. So we essentially used John like heroin in that we just had to go, well, no, he can't be as handsome today to us as he was yesterday because we must be used to it a bit. Yeah. And it took a long time.
God damn it, he just got more handsome the next day.
We just thought, I think it got to a point where we just stopped looking at him.
Okay. So how did you cure your John withdrawal? Your John opium withdrawal.
I don't personally.
Did you go
think
cold turkey?
No, it was about 4 years where I had to wear police horse blinkers, so I didn't catch John in my peripheral vision.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Because then I'd rear up.
Yeah, but
yeah. So if I knew it would be in front of me, then I'd be get ready for it. Oh, there he is! Oh God, he's good looking, and I could move away, but I wouldn't be shot by him in peripheral vision.
I had to just spend about maybe 15 years literally not speaking to him at all.
Mm. Wow. This must have been tough on stage, you know? You're kind of giving yourself extra labour.
Yeah. Can you imagine this situation, Rob?
I'm really glad Rob's come in because it's really helping us deal with it.
I'm going to go Robert with Robert and Rob with you because it's two Robs today. Okay. So Robert, so imagine this situation. It's genuinely true. Okay. I'd not seen John for, I think it was 14 or 15 years. And so the first time I saw him in that time period was at a funeral.
Emotions are heightened.
Imagine being at a funeral.
Where you're not allowed to get a boner.
Yeah, imagine that. And then who should walk in? Wearing a suit, by the way. The best looking man in the entire unit. By the way, me and Rob Rouse are both historically heterosexual, so it's not anything like that going on. But it's just
historically heterosexual. Since ancient Greece.
It's been in all the books. Because
when things like this happen, you do then just question, why am I feeling this way about a man when I'm historically heterosexual?
Yeah, you probably have a tipping point, you know what I mean, of male beauty when you should, would get
honestly,
stuck in.
If you could see his tipping point.
I want to see it now. You're going to have to show me a picture. Is there a picture going to level
mixing,
up?
Have you got a mixing bowl in your house?
Yes.
Right, it's like that, but with jeans around it.
What the hell?
That doesn't make any sense.
That's his tipping point. That's his...
Oh.
Down his front.
Wow.
It's like that. It's like a dome.
I thought if you were to do that to Rob's pants over here, it would be catastrophe because the pants are made of...
Leather.
Extreme biker leather.
Bike. But I'll tell you as well, this is the thing we've not discussed so far. So, by the way, welcome to the show. But here's the thing that we've not discussed so far within this scenario. Because me and Rob have been speaking about this on the show already. Rob's got a bigger gentleman down below.
Has he?
Yeah, Rob has, definitely.
Has he shown you this radio studio?
I've seen it in passing.
When have you seen it?
So we always used to have wees next to each other.
Oh, yeah, it's wees next to
each other. And we'd bathe each other sometimes. I've got a video of me washing your face.
Face?
That was only my face.
Is that what you call it?
But you didn't have much on. We saw him in passing. We were getting changed and stuff.
What about on stage?
I've never seen yours.
No, I know, but I'm very guarded on mine.
Did you ever incorporate it into a comedy sketch?
No, very guarded.
But I'm very guarded. In fact, I bought some pants in America recently, which make my packet look a bit bigger.
Really?
Did you buy them in store?
Yeah, they're called Hanes.
Did you try them on first?
No, but I like the feel of them. They're quite silky. Someone online has said that they're like pantyhose, which I don't agree with, but I do think that they certainly are constructed in such a way that they keep the testicular penile area, let's call that a mound. Area.
The mound, yeah.
Right. They keep that mound all in the same place, giving it a bit more...
Giving it a bit more bulge.
Because I'm dreadful on the
slack,
Robert.
Like a Wonder Bra. A Wonder Bra for your dick.
Yeah. It's exactly
right?
How
often are you in your pants so that people can see the bulge at its best?
In my bathroom, I've got an entire wall of mirrors in my bathroom, and I often will just, when I put them on after a shower, I'll just have a look at that for a bit.
My brother-in-law loves being naked, and even at the reception of his own wedding in Portugal, got naked later on in the evening.
No reason.
What's that for? What's that about?
I think he just likes to be liberated from clothes.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
As much as he can.
Well, I might talk about this on next week's show, but I did quite a lot of skinny dipping recently and thoroughly enjoyed it. Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
I'm going to get us on, Rob.
Oh, you're in the Tudors.
Do you know what?
No, that had some slap and tickle in it, that one, didn't it?
It did. I was 18, right, and I told all my relatives in America that I was going to be in the Tudors, and then they all watched it, and I was cut out.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no.
I was cut out of it.
Was it a slap and tickle scene?
It was slap and tickle to the Virgin Mary.
Was it really?
Heavens. And was it cut out because it was too sexy or because of blasphemous reasons, or was it cut out because it wasn't relevant?
I don't know, but it was an extraordinary waste of money.
So when I read scripts, I always think, I could be in this more, or I could be in that. I could be in this.
I'm sure they're probably thinking the same thing in the production office, you know?
You watch Superman and you think, I could have been the man who goes, there's a phone box over here.
Yeah.
This is Superman.
But he just finds it, doesn't he?
They should have a sort of a kind of an equivalent to Stan Lee for the DC Universe, and I'd like to nominate Rob Rouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Being like, excuse us, Mr. Superman, there's a phone box over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd
second that. Yeah. So that's happening.
Listen, Hulk, don't jump on them cars. People have paid good money for them.
He's Avengers, mate.
Yeah.
I can't see any reason, Rob, why we can't just film these bits and just shove them in them films anyway.
It's probably the easiest way to do it.
Probably the best way to do it.
Aquaman, you're going to have to get a snorkel or something.
Yeah, I'd like to be in all of the films that... What's his chops? The fellow who's Mike in Neighbours.
Guy Pearce
is in. And I'd like to have them all the scripts changed. So like when he's in, the King's Speech, someone goes, is that Mike from Neighbours? Or when he's in LA Confidential, they go, is that Mike from Neighbours? Just everyone goes,
I think it is.
Yeah. Is that Mike from Neighbours? No one can ever remember his lines. That's a nod to Memento.
Oh, I'm scared I like that.
We're going to run out of time proper.
I should go. Now I think I've taken up far too much of your listeners'
time. I don't want, so this is
in a bit. You're coming to the show,
exactly,
aren't you?
He's just waiting for you to get it so you can get a lift with you on the motorbike.
Can I get a backy?
That's what I was thinking.
I'd love to, but I haven't got a second helmet. Do you get a helmet in the building?
I'll use like one of these speaker things.
Just use your headphones.
Are you
headphones?
No.
Not that.
No.
I've never had a backy ever.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
We have another amazing guest in the studio.
We do. Our final guest of the evening, the very, very gorgeous Stacey Jackson.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Hello.
Stacey. Well, thank you for having me, guys.
No, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you. Well, I have to say, Stacey, because we have met before.
Yes.
And I'm so, like, amazed. You recorded with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, it's like a claim to fame of mine. But yes, no, it was great. Great experience, and it was a great song. And
how did it all come about?
I had this record out, like, right before, and it was a hit of a, it was a, actually, it was a cover, and it did really well on the charts. It sat between Lady Gaga and the Scissor Sisters, and suddenly I got phone calls from like producers going, oh, your vocal suits this kind of music, you want to do some more dance music? So I was like, okay, and because I'm a songwriter, so I wrote an album of dance tracks, and I wrote one that needed a rap on it, and at that point I'd already technically had a good like hit record. And so my management said, okay, I was thinking like some young up and coming urban, you know, kid who could rap. I wasn't thinking Snoop Dogg.
The most famous.
Kind of. It's like, let's just throw it out
Snoop
there.
Snoop Dogg. Yeah, he's exactly. Cool. He's edgy.
Yeah,
I'll be scared
edgy.
Of him.
Well, no, it was a great time. It was great. And in fact, I'm in the process of writing a book about it, my experience with it. And so it's exciting. So this song's called Live It Up, and it was about a dream I had. My late father visited me, and it's pretty spiritual, but yet it's a dance track. It's quite fun.
That's good. That's what you want to hear up in the club.
I love that. I love exactly.
What I love about you, Stacey, you actually began your career as a singer in your 40s.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I've always been singing, and I was in bands in Canada growing up and then in New York. But I always had day jobs, and I became a mom. And, like, you never think you're ever going to get a hit record at any point of your life, and if it's really a dream. And so this opportunity, kind of the door opened, and I went in there, and you know, it was just, I guess in dance music, if the DJs play it and the clubs are thumping and people like it, then it doesn't really matter how old you are, you know, like,
absolutely,
if I was 40 or whatever.
Well, look at Cher.
Well,
I love Cher. Oh my gosh, and she looks better than ever.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. I mean, I grew up actually like in my when I was a baby. I mean, she was my idol. Like, my ultimate, like, everyone were playing with Barbies. I had Cher dolls.
Like, she was, I'm jealous. Mom, why didn't I have a Cher doll?
I'm actually. All of her little costumes and everything. Wow. The Bob Mackie gowns and many sizes. I was obsessed.
So good.
Yeah, that was really fun. And so, yeah, so I got, I'm definitely living my dream. And, of course, the dance music and the fitness sort of, like, it kind of goes really well together. The fitness music is, you know, is dance music. It's got a great beat and people could just press play and move. That's my shtick.
Because there are so many workout videos. How is yours different to others? Why would I want to see yours?
Question. Why? Because it's very retro. I mean, I used to teach aerobics when I was a teenager up until, like, I taught aerobics for a long time, but I started when I was a kid. And at the time, it was very Denise Austin, you know, Jane Fonda, I guess, was kicked it off. And, you know, and so it's a very back to basics, you know, aerobics type class that you could, but you know what? When you get to over a certain age, half an hour of jumping around is a lot of a workout, you know? So it's really under a half an hour. It's quite easy to follow along. And actually, even if you can't do any of the moves, it's, you just literally, I keep saying, just pressing play and moving to the music. And that's really all that's
about. And have fun.
Is getting up and having fun. That's mm-hmm. that's the whole
And you love Jane Fonda.
Of course I do. I'm obsessed with her. I mean, she looks 80. Incredible. I mean, I want to be like her when I'm 80. I was watching an episode of her sitcom, Grace and Frankie, and she lifts her leg up, like, over her head. This woman's 80.
Sure it's not CGI.
I promise. Okay, well, if it is, it was really good CGI. But no, honestly, I was, like, looking at this woman going, that's who I want. That's who I want to be.
Well, she proves it's doable, right? Yes. You can do it.
Yes, you can do it if you stay, you know, you've
got supple. Yes.
Well, look at you. Hello. I mean, you're obviously quite fit and fabulous.
Well, I don't know about today. I'd rather late night, Stacey, between you and me. I'm glad it's radio, but we've got loads of cameras in.
Callum McSwiggan.
Callum McSwiggan.
On FUBAR Radio.
Joined here in the studio by the incredible Mahatma Candy. And the beautiful Ginger Johnson.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
So I think we're going to take it in turns to reach inside the pussy and pull out whatever's inside. And I think it's like a truth or dare situation.
Ooh.
But let's just go with it and see what happens.
Right, okay.
So I'm putting my hand in the pussy. Sound effects, please, Mahatma.
Just not happy.
And Mahatma, this one's going to be one for you.
Oh, okay.
So it says here, name one costume idea that you would love to do that your bank account just won't allow.
I actually have one, and I've been trying to do it every Halloween, but I can't.
Okay.
Because I just don't have the money. So
sure,
it's a perfect
sure.
question.
It's a perfect question.
Thank you so much, Callum. Thanks for having
this
me.
This is your moment.
Merry Christmas. If I wanted to do, see now, if I tell people, just gonna do it, and then just gonna fuck me over. Like I want it to be mine.
Well, but you've made a good job of doing it so far, haven't you, sweetheart? So maybe you should just open
maybe.
Up the field.
Can
all
someone,
right?
Can someone help me out there? No, I wanted to do a mummy, but in denim instead of so it's instead of bandages,
ooh.
It's denim. Yeah. So I
oh,
think
that's so sexy. No, stop gagging.
Oh my god.
Stop gagging.
We're from different worlds.
Yeah. Yes, we are. I'm from Biker.
But yeah, so love I want to do like a really like cool denim whore.
Nice.
Mummy.
I like it.
Right.
Mahatma, would you like to reach into the pussy?
Not really, no, but I
go,
will.
Go on. In
I
you
will.
Go. In you
I
go.
Will. Do I need to cat noise again?
Yeah, go for it.
Meow.
Oh, sexy.
Oh, okay.
Sexy, sexy.
Okay. Should I give this one to Ginge?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Sing the chorus of a song you've had sex to.
Oh.
I can't even think of mine. I don't know.
I do prefer silence.
Really? Dead silence.
Yeah, maybe a Tibetan gong in the background every now and then.
You know? Wind chime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I do also enjoy the sound of someone just tapping their nails on a smartphone. You know, that's a really, really pleasant experience. So a song. No, but I can tell you a terrible song that I've had sex to that went really, really badly. Phone on shuffle. Immediately coming through the speakers after whatever it had been beforehand was the overture to Sweeney Todd.
Oh my god!
Which is like, like somebody dying at an organ.
Keep you in rhythm, though.
That was an unforgettable night.
That would be a fast rhythm to keep up with.
It's Ginger Johnson, that's all you get with her. Fast rhythm.
Ginger, would you like to reach into my pussy?
Absolutely I would. Let's have a look here.
Meow.
Who wrote these out? Did your producer go to school?
Yeah.
Callum.
Yes.
Snog, marry, avoid.
Yes.
Edward Scissorhands.
Ooh.
Morticia Adams.
Ooh.
Freddy Krueger.
Well, I'm gonna avoid Morticia because she's female and I'm a homosexual.
Right.
What?
I know, shocker. Shocker of the evening.
I'm leaving.
Who was the first one again?
Edward Scissorhands.
Ooh. See, I feel like sex with Edward, I'm into a bit of BDSM, so I feel like sex with Edward would be phenomenal.
Yeah, there is BDSM and then there's bleeding out on the bedroom floor, isn't there? Two slightly different things.
Yeah. I'm gonna have, oh no, Freddy's got knives as well, so there's BDSM.
Yes, I know, I thought you'd made a bad decision straight off there, sweetheart.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.